Amen. Well, bienvenidos, hermanos y hermanas. Oh, wait. I was singing in Spanish. I was like, what's going on here? I'm like fluent in Spanish now. It's great. So, as Richard said, my name is Bruno. It's Joe Bruno, but everyone calls me Bruno and Sam. And as you said, I was baptized in 97. I'm 21 years old. I was a child prodigy. I don't look a day over 22, so it's great to be here. I really have enjoyed my time with the Gwinnett Church. You guys have loved us, fed us, you know, worn us around. We walked around the campus, met everybody we could. It has been a great time. There's one thing that's been missing. I've heard of this, like, chant or something. The campus does some kind of chant. Let me hear the campus chant. Come on. All right. Very, very cool. Very awesome. Okay, I just wanted to hear it for myself. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it is interesting being married to a bulldog. You know, it is hard going to the more elite college in our marriage. You know, I'm just kidding. I know I'm in that country. I'm in bulldog country. I got to be careful. I got to be careful with what I say. But, you know, I'm very lucky to have my wife. She is just the joy of my life. She's a beautiful, fiery, Italian woman. You know, actually, she is a black belt in karate. But you know what? If it came down to it, I could take her, you know. I could take her. You know, well, it never came to it. The elders are like, oh, man, we have some shepherding to do with this couple. We got to help them out. But, you know, our two sons, it's Vincent Anthony Bruno and Michael Santino, two just straight Italian names. We have Italian kids. And it's not named after the Godfathers. Don't worry. I didn't name Michael Santino. I know it sounds like it, but we just wanted to give them a good Italian name. But I'm so grateful to be here. It's been awesome being with the campus. Believe it or not, about 2 years ago, I was in the campus in Charlotte, and I was helping the freshmen move in. And this mother was like, so are you a freshman? I was like, ma'am, thank you. I graduated college about 10 years ago, but thank you for thinking I'm a freshman, you know, in college. So I still feel like I have that young look going to some degree. But today, we're going to be talking about running the race. And I know that this is a common theme that we've talked about, that we've read about, we thought about our entire lives. But we're going to dive a little deeper today. I'm one of those guys that just spends forever studying out verses in the Bible. I studied out Philippians 3, 13 and 14 for about a month. Just kind of digging deeper, reading the words. I have this website I use, preceptaustin.org, and it gives you the Greek, gives you the tenses, gives you other verses. So I have dug deep into this Bible. So I'm going to do a little teaching. But the thing is, we've all know about the race. But the question is, how you doing? You know, in your race. Are you still as excited and fired up and joyful as the day you were baptized? Or have it, you know, the holidays, you're kind of chilling. You know, we all know this theme, but are we running the race the way the Bible calls us to run? Amen? Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, and we'll read the whole context here. We're going to read 7 through 14. And as you can tell, I talk really fast, so I am trying. This is my slow version, actually, so I'm trying to consciously slow it down. But you know, we Italians, we just talk fast and, you know, all that stuff. So I'm trying to slow it down here. I know I'm in the South, so I've got to speak slowly. It is true. In Charlotte, they have no idea. Like, what is he got, peanut butter on his mouth? I can't understand a word he says. Like, so I'm trying to slow it down for you guys. But Philippians chapter 3, we'll read 7 through 14. It says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, so what's Paul talking about here? He's like, I need to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus in every way. He's talking about being so focused on Christ that that is his greatest desire. And his goal, his heaven call, is not just heaven, it's to be more like Jesus. Like, that is what he's talking about. I want to be like Christ in every way. In verses 8 and verse 10, in verse 8 talks about the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus. Verse 10, I want to know Christ. He's like, I want to know Jesus, not just to be in heaven, but I want to be like Jesus as much as possible right now. And 1 John 3:2 says, when we get to heaven, we will be like Christ. That is an amazing thought, that one day we will be like Jesus. And all of our desires to be like Christ, they will be fulfilled and we will be like Jesus. So if that's what heaven is like, shouldn't that be our greatest desire here? It's just to be like Jesus, to walk more and more with Christ. And I want to, you know, I'm going to share things about myself today so you guys get to know me. But I want you guys to think for a minute of something that you just desperately wanted. Something you wanted to have it. You wanted to have it your entire life. You know, when I was a kid, most people do not guess this about me. Because I'm a guy's guy for the most part. I'm a little gamer, you know, but mostly a guy's guy. But when I was younger, I was a national figure roller skater. Now, I know you guys would never guess that. But, you know, I had the pose and I had I have the video and pictures. If I come here, you know, you guys will see that. I might even put it on the screen if you guys are lucky, but maybe not because that... Maybe that wouldn't be good, but, you know, I went to nationals. You know, I was like in the top tier of all the figure skaters at 10 years old. I wanted to be the best. I trained and had practice hours a day. You know, also in high school, as you can tell, I'm not the tallest guy in the world, but, my goal was to dunk a basketball. You're like, that's impossible, you know. But, actually there was a day I touched the rim. I jumped 3 feet in the air. I'm a little white guy, but I got up there and I almost dunked it. Someone threw me an alley-oop and I almost dunked it. I was like, yes! I was like so excited. I can jump high. You know, I can do all these things. You know, I thought about it. I trained. I got the strength shoes and these big old plates on your feet and I'm running around. I'm doing all these things. Like, I was going after because I desperately wanted to just jam on somebody. It was before I was a disciple, but you know, I wanted it. I wanted it so badly. And the thing is to ask yourself, the thing you wanted, is it the same desire that you have for Jesus? Is it the same? Is it the same desire as we start the new year? Are you still focused and wanting to be more and more like Jesus? Or has it faded because of the holidays? And we're still checked out. We're kind of just cruising through. Okay, when the new year starts, then I'll really get going. But it's hard to do that. You've got to be focused the entire time. And today, I'm going to be doing a little teaching when it comes to the scriptures. But before I start, in your mind, I just want you guys to have the thought of the race. Like just running the race, and that's the whole theme of today. You know, Paul uses words that the Greeks used in the races. You know, with it's Hebrews 12:1. We all know that, you know, the scripture there. And 1 Corinthians 9:24 talks about running the race and the race set out for us. He talks about the race a lot throughout the scriptures. Well, Hebrews was, you know, written by not Paul. You know, we don't know who wrote that. But those words are used, the whole idea of a race. And Paul says here, we'll pick up in verse 13. He says, in the halfway through, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You know, it's more like, he's like, I haven't attained this, but one thing, more like two things at the same time. He's really going for it. And this word forget in the Greek, there's two definitions. It means either to not recall or to completely forget. And also in the Greek, it has this preposition in front of the word epi, which means it intensifies that word. So I don't think Paul is saying, I intensely neglect the past. I don't think he's saying that. He's like, I need to utterly forget the things in the past that are bringing me down today. He is fighting hard for that. And it's in the present tense, so it means we have to do it all the time. Also, this word we have in the English, there is the active voice and the passive voice. This word, forgetting, is in the middle voice. And I'll get to that in a little bit here. I don't want to confuse you guys too much. But so what is the meaning? What is Paul trying to get across here in these few verses? He's like, stop looking to the past and keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep it on Jesus at all times. Because usually, even when I think about myself and for you guys, what usually brings us down? Thinking about our past. Thinking about our failures. Thinking about the things that we did wrong and how we've hurt people, if people hurt us. Those things, the doubts, you know, our experiences, the memories that people have done to us, or we've messed up royally and we're just, you know, begging God to forgive us, and we're not sure if He will. Like, the past, man, it can have such a strong grip, such a strong hold on our hearts if we're not running the race the way Jesus says to run the race. And if our past still shapes our faith today, that is not what God intended. That is not what God intended for any of us. And really, you know, something I want you guys to pray for me on this, because I thought about this. Do I run this race? Do I look at it like this continuously? Or do I run like this occasionally? And I think for me, you know, occasionally I get down. I think about my past. And even recently I've been battling, you know, confidence and thinking about my past mistakes and what I've done wrong in Charlotte and what do I need to do? And does God still want me to be in the ministry? Like, I'm allowing sometimes the past even to stop me right now. I'm like, I'm preaching, I'm running forward, I'm struggling here. But like, I've got to, you know, I'm being honest with you guys because we're all at different points. You know, and if I'm saying this, doesn't mean I'm doing it perfectly. I'm with you guys in the battle. But nothing in the past, nothing that happened in the past is relevant when it comes to your faith. You know, and I'm getting to a little bit more of that. But it's like, okay, I've got a great idea. Let me just think about my past. And you guys think about your past, and it's going to really inspire you, right? No, like, it usually brings you down, but we do it. When we're not focused on God, we're not spiritually seeking Jesus, we do that, and we've got to stop doing that and really fight hard to do what God wants us to do. And think about Paul. What if Paul allowed the things in his past to impede his faith? Well, who was he? Murderer? Persecutor? People doubted him? Corinthians, they doubted his apostleship? Like, imagine if he allowed all of his past to stop, to really affect him now as a church leader, as a disciple. What would he have been like? He wouldn't have been the Paul that we read about because he was focused. He did not allow the past failures and defeats to stop him. So think about this for yourself. What things in your past are still affecting you in a negative way? You know, if you focus on your past, where's Jesus? He's there in the great times and in the victories, but if we constantly think about the things you've done wrong, all the mistakes, Jesus is not there with you. He's saying, hey, look ahead. Stop looking at the past. You're only destroying your faith. But are we doing that? Are we willing to focus our eyes that much on Jesus and go forward and really have, okay, all of us run the race, but is it a recreation or are we really pushing it? Are we really going for Jesus? And I want to say one thing to be sure I'm clear. It is biblical to remember what God did in the past. It's very biblical, but we need to avoid making these stones of remembrance of our failures. Oh, I remember this milestone 20 years ago, this happened, and 5 years ago, this happened, and we have these milestones of our defeats that sometimes we look to. And those are the things that we need to completely, utterly destroy. Use the Holy Spirit to wipe them out of your heart. That's what Paul is trying to say here. And it doesn't mean that you obliterate the memory completely, but the things that are going to impede your faith, the things that are stopping you, and maybe you want to step out and be more faithful or share your faith or be humble and just really disciple somebody or encourage somebody, but you have a memory of doing it before. And maybe it didn't go so well. So you stopped. That's not running the race the way Jesus and Paul say to do, with that focus on Christ. Amen? So if you look at this, okay, the whole, okay, says forgetting it's in the middle voice. Pretty much if it's something is in the middle voice, it means the person that initiates it reaps the benefits of the action. So if you're forgetting the past, it means you're initiating forgetting, so you're reaping the benefits of the forgetting. So what does that mean? How does that really relate? Man, there are so many benefits to doing that. I think about for myself, even for all of us, just being useful to God. When you don't think about your past, you think about how God can move and work in your life, in your family, and the people in your work, you know, people around you. You think, man, I am useful to God. I'm not, well, I was useful, but then I really blew it. That's that past, you know, destroying us. So if we are forgetting it and moving forward, we're so much more useful to God. I know for me, I'm strengthened in my faith. Because all I'm thinking about is Jesus and the Word and the power of God. I am stronger than ever. But again, when I'm looking to myself and seeing my weaknesses and other people's weaknesses, man, it does not work out. I think about us being renewed every day. The blood of Jesus wiping everything away, wiping all of our past sins, strengthening us. When we are focused on Jesus like that, we are renewed. It's true that we're renewed, but sometimes, you know, we don't feel so renewed. We're kind of struggling with that. But if we're focused on the race, the way this is talking about it, we are renewed every single day. And I think all of these things produce an enormous confidence in us. We're thinking about how useful we are to God, how strong we are in our faith, how much we are renewed. Man, we are some confident men and women of God. Amen? But here's the thing. Is that you? Did I just describe your walk? Did I describe your race? Your race with God. Have I described that? And if not, there's great, you know, Acts 3 talks about times of refreshing come when you repent. So it can happen to you today. It's like, who wouldn't want all of this? Like, all of us, man, that is the kind of walk with God I want for me, for my wife, for my family, for the church. This is what I want. But it comes at a price of a focus, of running like Jesus. I think all of us are at different points in our lives. Some of us have been disciples for 30 years. Some of us 2 weeks in the campus. Amen. You know, but where is your joy? Where is your focus? Are you still as faithful as the day you started? Or are you less faithful? But if we're running the race like this, there's no reason that any of us would ever doubt or lose faith if we're running the race like this. But Satan, man, he is so conniving. And 1 Corinthians 2 talks about how we are not unaware of his schemes. He's always trying to scheme against us. And really, I believe this, and I share this with the Charlotte Church. For us to grow as a church, for us to grow individually, we've got to forget our mistakes. We've got to forget our failures. We've got to forget other people's mistakes against us. We've got to forget that. Because you do not, man, you are going to be in some serious trouble with the Lord. He says, if you don't forgive people, I'm not going to forgive you. It's like, well, I better forgive somebody right away, you know? And just thinking about this, it's like, wow, is there anyone right now, even in this church or in other churches, where you are holding a grudge? Where you have something that they did to you, and you know what? Every time you see them, you want to turn the other way. I've been there. I've done that. I have seen this brother was discipling me, and he was younger than me spiritually and younger than me, you know, physically. And I was like, I don't like this brother. He's not. And I just was always holding. I just didn't like him. And I was like, man, I am just seriously prideful. There's this sermon this brother preached. If you're struggling and you don't know why, you're dealing with some form of pride. And I was like, wow, I am being prideful right now. If I'm holding a grudge just for something stupid that I just think I'm better than him, it's like, I need to forgive him. I need to talk to him. It's like, if there's, you know, I would encourage you today. If there's someone today who's here, you know, look for them in the service. You could call them, you know, do whatever it takes. If you're holding a grudge, man, you're hurting God. You're hurting that person. You're hurting that relationship that can help both of you guys grow closer to God. Amen. And I just love the thought of just, I can forget the past. I don't have to let it determine me. I need to strain towards what is ahead to be more and more like Jesus. This is what he's calling you to do. If you look back, you will lose the race. Luke 9:62 says, if you look back, you are not fit for the service in the kingdom of God. So if you want to be useless to Jesus, keep looking back. If you want to look forward, you will be useful. You will be a man and woman after God, and God and Jesus, they'll be able to use you. But if you keep looking back, Jesus is like, don't even come. You're not fit for service in my kingdom if you're going to look back in your life. And Jesus says that, boy, you better do that. That's all I'm saying. Jesus says that, you better do that. And it's like, I can't think of anyone who says, you know what, Bruno? Yes, I want to be useless for Jesus. I don't think there's any takers, you know, in here on that one. But it's us staying on course. Okay, I've got to fight. It is hard to not think about things people have done or you've done. It can grip us. But if we're straining and forgetting the passion, straining toward what is ahead that Paul is saying, we will have some fruitful lives. We will be strengthened by God. I want to keep on going here. The next thing Paul says is to strain ahead. And in the Greek, this uses, it's the word used to describe runners racing. They're stretching every fiber of their muscles to run the race. So that's kind of us spiritual. Are we stretching every fiber of our spiritual muscles and running our race? You know, in this race, man, we need to spare nothing. It cannot be a recreation. I'm just kind of chilling, running. You know, that cannot be what describes our race with God, our walk with God. And I just think about it. We're straining towards what lies ahead. And it's not just heaven. It is, I'm going to be like Jesus. Every day I'm fighting to be more and more, have the character of Jesus, have the love of Jesus, to tear the devil's kingdom down. You know, we're fighting every day. It can't be like, well, I'm just fighting to start dating. Or I'm fighting to be married. And it's like, hey, amen, those are great. I love being married. But if that's my goal, I'm off. You know, and we're off. You're off. If your goal is, I gotta start dating and I gotta get married and I have kids, like, if that's your goal, it's like you're forgetting about the race. And really going towards God. And it's funny. He goes on and says, I press on toward the goal. And this word actually means to persecute in the Greek. It means to harass, to chase down like a criminal. So he's like, wow, okay. He is saying that we need to, you know, just harass our goal of being like Jesus. And lastly here it says, and goal is the word scopos in the Greek, and it means a scope. So I kind of want to rewrite this word with all the definitions in there. He's saying, stretch beyond your ability to chase down your prize of being like Jesus in heaven as with a telescope focused on Jesus. That blows my mind. I'm like, oh, am I doing that every day? I can't say I am. But that is what he's saying. Stretch beyond your ability. Have a focus. Have a telescope on Jesus, being more like him. Just push beyond your ability and chase it down like a criminal. You're harassing your person. You're going after it. Is that your race? And it's challenging, but encouraging. You go, man, this is what I can do. You know, every one of us can get there. It wouldn't be in the Bible if it wasn't possible for all of us to get here. Whether we're older spiritually or younger spiritually, no matter where we're at with God, this is possible for us to run like this. And I want to give you guys like a physical example of the race. I need a brother that is just really in shape, just really ready to run. Fred, come on up. So Fred, you know, I've only been here 2 days, but he's done an incredible job with the campus ministry. I want him to give you guys an idea. I need you to, you ready? Can you put your headband on? Okay. All right, go up to the top. I need everyone's help. We're all going to participate here. So I'm going to give you guys a vision, a physical example of what a distracted race looks like. So here's what, I don't go too hard here, but I want you guys to boo him. Don't go mean. Just start, you know, I want him to run. I want you guys to boo him and see his response. All right, Fred, come on down. Yes. See, it's tough. He's like slowing down. He's like, oh, man, he's smiling a little bit, but you know, amen. He's just so happy. All right, so go ahead and go back up, Fred. Okay, now we're going to cheer him on. But hold on. Not yet. I know you're excited to do this. But I want you to see his response as well. All right, Fred, come on down. And everyone cheer him on. All right. Thank you very much, brother. That was great, great job. So here's the thing. He was distracted both times, wasn't he? So whether you focus on the boos or the encouragements, if you're not focused on Jesus, you're slowing down. And sometimes we can really base a lot of things on our faith. Like if I'm doing well and people are cheering me on, everything's great, everyone's loving me, I'm doing great. You're running, looking to side to side instead of looking to Jesus. And we do that. With the past, it just discourages us so much. And I want to share a little bit, you know, at the ICMC, this International Campus Ministry Conference, it was in Athens this past year, and it was a 5K. And, you know, I'm 32 years old, I'm thinking, these students are going to toast me. Like, it's not even going to be close. So I trained for about a week for this thing. I was devoted. You know, I was going hard. But, you know, towards the end of the race, you know, I saw the finish line. And my eyes got big. And it was like the Lord had quickened my feet. And I passed like 30 students towards the end. You know, and I came in 70th place out of 1,000. So I was like pretty impressed. I'm like, how am I faster than all these students? What is going on? But I saw the end. My eyes got big. I didn't care if I was tired. People were throwing up. But I'm like, I'm not looking at them, man. I'm going, you know. I don't want to look at that right now. But I got this surge because my eyes were on the end. And I think our end is not just heaven. It is, I'm going to be more like Jesus. Because that can be in front of you every day. Heaven's like, you know, 40, 50, 100 years off for some of us. Who knows with technology if we'll last longer than that, you know. But it is far away. But if we keep Jesus right in front of us, we're going to have a strong, strong race. And you know what, guys? You guys have been talking so much that I have run out of time. Okay. Amen. So I want to share one more thing here, and then we'll close out. I want you guys to think about, okay, what kind of runner are you? Distracted, focused, lazy, worried about other runners? I think the goal is just to be like, Jesus, we got to start the new year. We got to be focused on what is true. And something I really want you to think about, and this is a challenge. What areas have you accepted no more change in your own life? You know, you stop, or maybe you stop trying to be like Jesus in a certain area, and you have accepted defeat. You may not say it, but your actions in your heart show you've accepted defeat. Maybe it's purity. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's the sins of the past or just, you know, who you are as a person. You feel like you're not good enough. The guilt. I'm always going to be guilty. I'm always going to be a struggle muffin brother. You know, I'm always going to be weak. It's like, do you think that? Because if you do, man, we've got to start this new year off right, running the race as fast as we can. You know, my Bible says, Ephesians 3:20, that God can do immeasurably more than all of us could ask or imagine. Is that what your Bible says too? I think it does. So we've got to base our faith on the scriptures, not on what we feel and think. I want to share one more thing here. I said I'd close out. I will. You know, there was a time, you know, recently when Sam was pregnant, she had two, like, rough pregnancies. Like, with Vinny, she was hooked up to an IV for a few weeks because she just was sick the entire time. With Sunny, she was, you know, feeling very sick. And we're like, man, we just need to get through this. Sam's like, I just don't want to be pregnant anymore. Have you ever felt like, man, I just want to get through this time? And Sam and I had a quiet time together. And I want to say, you know, to the married brothers, if you're not having spiritual time with your wife, consider it as prayer and reading, then you are missing out. I have wrote sermons based on our quiet times. It has been phenomenal. So brothers, man, so it's like, amen, bro, come on, have a quiet time. Yeah, but, you know, I just love having that time with her. And we thought about it, and I was like, man, we've been feeling like we just need to get through this. Let's just get to September and have Sunny, and then it'll be easier, right? Amen. Yeah, not happening. But we thought about it, like, man, we're distracted. We're just trying to get through this. And the quiet time we had, it was like, man, am I thinking, how can I be joyful through this? How can I be more faithful through this? Instead of like, man, okay, we just got to make it. Let me just make it to the end of the year. Make it through 2012. It just started, but I'm just going to make it through the end. Like, we can't think that way because it just distracts us. It gets our eyes off of Jesus, and we get so focused on the wrong thing. You know, I want to end here with a great verse. Okay, I know I need to do this, but how? How can I push myself? How can I focus my heart to be that telescoped on Jesus? Let's go to Psalm 138, and then we'll close out here. You guys with me? All right. All right, Psalm 38, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Wait till the rustling stops. All right, Psalm 138, we'll just read verses 1 through 3. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple. I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. You know, when I think about the word exalted, it also means magnified. I When I think about something being magnified, I think about just expanding it to where all you see are the intricacies of the item. You know, CSI looking at a fiber, you blow it up and you see like all the details. And it's like, I think if we are magnifying God so much to where all we see is the character of God, the love of God, the faith of God, that will help us. If we're magnifying, if we're extolling God, just putting Him so big to where all you see is God, you will run this race just like this. And you will see all of the wonders of God. You will not be the runner like Fred, like kind of just discouraged. You will be, man, I don't care what's going on around me. I am telescoping my heart, telescoping my eyes, putting everything on Jesus. Because don't you want to be as close to being like Jesus when you get to heaven? Like, you don't want to be this huge transformation. You want to be as close as possible to being like Jesus before you're actually with Him. And I think if we are exalting God, if we're focusing our eyes and our hearts on Jesus, we will be useful to God, we will have confidence, we'll be renewed every single day, and you will live a fulfilled life that God wants you to live. To God be the glory. Amen.
Bruno? Bruno? Yo, Bruno! Okay. Bruno. Amazing job. Guys, let's give it up again for Brother Bruno. Amen. Amen. Bert, what I really appreciate is you took the challenge seriously and you brought it. And you will fit in very nicely here, but God's will be done.
Amen.
This is a small gift from the church for you and your beautiful wife.
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Great job, brother.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you. All right, guys. What an amazing service. Let's end it off with a word of prayer to God. Bow with me, if you will. Heavenly Father, you are an incredible God, and you bless us so much, Father. What have we done that we receive so many blessings and favor from you? What an amazing service, God. What a message. Father, help us to run this race. Help us to run the race, not looking to the left, not looking to the right, not worrying about the jeers, not worrying about the encouragement, but worrying about your face. Thank you so much for the Brunos coming this weekend. Again, may your will be done in their lives and in our church. Thank you so much for their willingness to come here and to serve us the way they have. Be with us for the rest of this week. Help us to serve you, God, with fervency. Help us to love you with all that we have. Help us to have great fellowship after church. We love you, God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.